Well, is anybody listening? Is anybody listening? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Is anybody listening? For thousands of years, we have been looking up to the stars, wondering, does anybody up there listen to us? Is there extraterrestrial? Is there other life out there? We've been sending all these phone messages up in space, and we've been sending internet signals. In 1974, NASA actually sent an official message from the United States out into space. Is anybody listening? Children want to know, is my daddy listening? Remember this, Chandler. Is my daddy listening? So they go ask daddy a question, and daddy says, go ask your mom. Right? So, and wives want to know if husbands are listening, you know. They're talking. The husband's there. He's listening, right? He's listening. So, honey, will you fix the door? Looking right at her. And didn't say anything. Honey? And he says, oh, did you say something? Yeah. So we can hear, but we don't always listen. We don't always actually tune in. And husbands ask, is my wife listening to me? I've been talking a lot recently. Are they listening in Washington, D.C.? I mean, we send letters out. We send emails. And we send official correspondence to somebody. And we get a form letter back. Have they really heard me? Have they really listened to me? Do they really care what I'm saying? Or are they just happy to get a paycheck? We all wonder if people are listening. We're spending all this time, we're looking at screens, we're looking at our phone screen, we're looking at our computer screen, we're looking at a television screen, and life is just going on day by day, but we're wondering, is God listening? Is God too busy to hear me? I think it's a question that people have been asking for a long time. I've been in a series of sermons on what I know for sure. And what I know and what I'm 100% sure of is that God listens. And not only does he listen, but he really answers. And I know without a doubt that God is going to answer me. And he listens to me better than my best friend. He listens to me better than my children. He listens to me better than a parent. And he will listen best, even better than a Facebook friend will listen. He'll even listen better than a spouse. Not only does he listen, but he answers. Jesus assured us of this, and we've been working in a series of sermons out of John 15, Jesus' parable of the vine. In the parable, God represents the gardener. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branch. And I'm going to read these verses again, but I want you to focus clearly on what happens when we ask something from God. So looking at here, and I invite you to turn with me, John 15, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Now this is the key verse here. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Did you notice those words there? Jesus says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But before he said that, he had a little tiny word in there, if. You know, that word if can be quite a deadly word. It means there's a condition. We live with ifs all the time. You can have it, you can buy it, if you have the money. But even God puts conditions on us when we pray. So I want to assure you today that God is going to answer you, but there's ifs. There's three ifs in our text that I want to focus on today. God will answer, number one, God will answer you if we remain in Him. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So what does it mean to remain in Jesus? Jesus says it's like a branch that's attached to a vine. A branch draws all of its life, all of its nutrients from the vine. Jesus says, I'm the vine. Jesus is the only way to true fulfillment. So only when we are in close relationship, close communion with Him, can we know He will answer. So when we don't have that close abiding relationship with Jesus, we're like the branch that's withered. Prayer is how we stay connected to the vine. So let me just say this. If you find yourself feeling stressed and out of control, which is very understandable today, you might check your prayer life. Have you been connecting to Jesus in daily prayer? Jesus says, if you remain in me. That word, remain, is a past tense. This is somebody who's made a decision for Jesus one time. Jesus is saying that you have a responsibility to keep on, to persevere. You can't detach from Jesus, the vine, and expect Him to answer your prayers. So when we're in a close relationship with Jesus, it changes us. Our prayer becomes His prayer, and we become one with Him. So remaining with Jesus means we're connected to His Word. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. When the words of Jesus found in Scripture go from our minds into our hearts, they become a part of us. That means we're thinking them. That means we're living them. And that means we're praying them. And we begin praying the will of God. It's true of anything. Whatever you're putting in your mind has an effect on your overall emotional well-being. So if we spend for hours and hours a day watching television, it's going to become a part of us. The world and the media is going to guide our thoughts and emotions, and we're going to wonder why God is not answering us when we pray. And we're going to be feeling fear and panic. Fear and panic, my friends, don't come from God. This comes from the world. So God will answer you when you pray. Number two, if you ask Him. Verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in me, remain in you, ask whatever you wish. Someone says, well, my life doesn't seem to have any peace. I mean, I believe in God. I'm a Christian. I've accepted Jesus, but I don't feel like God is listening to me. One possible answer is, have we spent time asking Him? Jesus says we have to take the initiative. We have to reach out to God. It happens naturally when we are attached. A small child is attached to a parent, so they have no trouble asking what they want, right? Mama, I'm hungry. Can I have something to eat? I'm afraid. Will you hold me? Mama, I have a boo-boo. Will you kiss my boo-boo? Children ask. They're not afraid to ask. Will you read me a story? Gotta get practiced up there, Brenda. You know, practice on the stories there, you know. That's one good thing that grandmas are good at, you know, good story reading. So when a child or grandchild is attached or dependent on their parent, it's natural for them to ask. And I think that we've missed out on blessings from God because we've never asked. People just assume God is going to answer. God is going to work everything out, but we still have to ask. Even the most dedicated Christians still have to ask. Now, you might remember the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had this amazing vision of heaven. He saw things so amazing they could not be put into words. And so God knew that Paul would be tempted to brag about what he saw. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, to prevent that from happening, he was giving a thorn, some kind of physical ailment that caused great pain and suffering. In verse 8, Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. This means he had to ask, not just one time. He had to ask repeatedly, over and over, about the same thing. And it wasn't given. The answer wasn't given at first. And this might have been three periods of time. This might have extended over a long period of time. Paul, even the Apostle Paul, had to ask. And he was a man chosen and set aside by Christ. No one is too good and no one is too spiritual to ask of God. Prayer takes time, effort, persistence, and it takes lots of asking. What I'm sure of is that God answers me. Number three, God answers if we ask by His authority. I want you to look at John 15, if you jump down to verse 16. This is what Jesus says. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. The last part of the verse is almost the same as verse 7, but there's a difference. It says, whatever you ask in my name. This doesn't mean that as long as we ask something of God, as long as we throw the name Jesus in there, it's going to happen. This isn't a magic formula. This isn't a magic word that makes all of our wishes come true, because there's some prayers in the New Testament that the name of Jesus is not used. So what does Jesus mean? Well, asking in Jesus' name means that we're asking in His character. It means we accept His authority. In this culture, if you spoke of doing something in someone's name, it meant that you were representing that person. You were doing what they wanted you to do. So asking God isn't a wish list. It isn't a random request. It's asking in a way that reflects His character. It's asking for the things that God wants for your life. Now, it may not make a lot of sense right now, so let's get specific. What do the answers of God look like? Let me give you some descriptions of God's answers to prayer. The first description, God's answers are consistent with His nature. So how do we... I don't think it's... Okay, there it is. It's picking me up again. Okay. Anyway, they're consistent with His nature. So how do we know His nature? Jesus says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, God's answers will be in line with His word. Christians are attached to the vine. That means His answers are going to be lined up with the nature of the vine. Second description, God's answers will be what we need. The vine gives the branches what they need. The Lord in His model prayer told His disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. I think we should spend time thanking God that He has met our needs. Regardless of what we're reading about, life is not well for everybody right now. Things are not easy for everybody. Not everybody can afford to sit around in their house and not work. It's not possible, I'm sorry to say. There's people, and they're not making it to the news, that are losing their businesses and they're losing everything because they can't work. I think we should, and this is just me, I think for sure, I'm so thankful that God has met my needs. And I'm thankful that God has protected my health. Dear Lord, thank you for protecting my health right now. Or maybe people will pray, well, dear Lord, I pray that I will be able to find work when the economy gets going. Lord, I thank you for just giving me food for my table. Thank you for giving me enough money to pay my bills. You know, there's no promise that God is going to give you wealth. He's not going to There's no promise he's going to give you the desires of your heart, but he will answer if we remain in him. When you think about what you've been asking God for, have you been asking for things that you want or things that you need? See, the closer we are to Jesus, the more attached we are to the vine, we're going to see that God meets our needs. And we'll also see that a lot of things that we want and maybe we ask God for are not really things that we need. Maybe not things that he even wants us to have. God's answers may be different than what we expect. And the third description, God's answers will be for the best. Now remember, my sermon is how the gardener, one of my sermons was on how the gardener prunes our life so that we'll grow more effectively, so that we'll be stronger and closer to Jesus the vine. So some of God's answers may involve pruning. Remember, the Apostle Paul asked three times that his physical malady would be removed. And the Bible says it was a messenger from Satan, and Paul prayed over and over, asking that this would be taken away from him. Let's look at the answer that he finally gets. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read the first part of verse 9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." What was the answer? No. I'm not taking the physical malady away, because my grace is enough for you. Because when you're weak, then my power will rest on you. Basically, God says no, and it's for the best. Romans 8:28, God works all things out for good for those who are called according to his purpose. God does what's best for his will. So how many times have you prayed over and over for something, and you prayed and you made this one up for years and it didn't happen, and you were disappointed, and maybe you were devastated? Have you ever had that happen? You prayed for something and it never happened. But the older you got and you reflected back and you thought, whew, I'm glad that didn't happen. Have you ever prayed for something when you were younger, and now that you're older, you're like, I'm so glad that didn't happen? Because at one point in our life, it seems like it's perfect. It seems like this is of God. It seems like this is what God wants. It's not happening. I don't understand it. But at the time, it doesn't make sense. But you get a little bit older, and you say, oh, okay. But not always. Sometimes we'll never understand. We will never understand why we pray for something and it doesn't happen, and it seems like it should. But all I can tell you is that God does what's best. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, God's will is good, perfect, and pleasing. Sometimes God's good is not our good. Let me say that one more time. God's good is not what we think is good, but he's the gardener, and we are just a branch. Now, God's answers can be frustrating to us, especially with the next description, the fourth description. God's answers always come at the right time. One of the biggest disappointments people have in God is that he doesn't answer on time. He doesn't answer according to my schedule. You see, we have our life already planned out, and God is supposed to answer according to that. But have you ever noticed how impatient a child is? Now, move on to this one, April. Move on to the next picture. I had to find a good picture of a... Oh, I guess the picture didn't make it. I guess it didn't make it. I had a picture of an impatient child. She didn't make it onto the... Anyway, I tried to find the most impatient-looking child that you would ever want to know. A child says, I want it now. I want to eat now, right? I want to go to McDonald's now. Children are not born patient. Just keep that in mind. Something you got to teach them. So a parent tells a child, listen, you're not in charge. I'm the one that determines we're going to go out to eat, and you're not going out to eat right now. We're teaching them patience. God does that for us. I think that's why we have to wait. Someone says, well, why do I have to wait? Maybe God wants to teach you how to wait. He wants to teach us how to be dependent on Him. The more mature we are in the faith, the more we learn to accept God's timing. Even in the growth of a grapevine, there are periods of growth, and there are also periods of winter. There are times when that grapevine looks dead and there's not any life in it, but there's life in that grapevine in the root system, even though it looks like it's dead. I think right now we're in a deepening phase in our faith. We are in a time right now when God wants us to seek Him in prayer. He wants us to seek Him in study. So I want to encourage you, don't mistake waiting on God and learning to trust Him that for Him not answering. Because sometimes God's answer is, listen, you're going to have to wait. You are not ready for the blessing that I have for you. And the fifth description, God's answers often involve bearing fruit. We're going back to fruit bearing again. But look at verses 7 and 8. I want you to notice how bearing fruit and prayer go together. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Did you notice how prayer and bearing fruit are connected? It's throughout the whole passages. And I think one of the reasons that prayer is disappointing to people, and it is disappointing, by the way, because there have been many people that said, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray. And I want this thing to work out, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray until it works out, and it doesn't happen. So we're disappointed. One of the reasons people are disappointed is because God doesn't answer us just to fix our problems. God doesn't answer us to make us feel better. He has another purpose for why He answers. Jesus says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear fruit. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. If it's done right, it's going to bear fruit in your life. It's going to guide you to a deeper surrender to God. It's going to teach you some spiritual truths that you never would have learned. Prayer produces fruit. It teaches us to surrender to God's will. God's answers will lead us to greater service. In fact, a fact from vineyards is that the branches that are closest to the main trunk of the vine bear the most fruit. The closer we are to Jesus, the more fruit we're going to bear, and that's going to be even in our prayer life. So what I know for sure is that God is listening, that He's going to answer His children. I think that prayer, it really is a great adventure, and it's going to bring about major change in your life if we remain in Christ, if we ask by His authority. So get ready for some answers from God if you take the time. Prayer takes persistence, it takes determination, and you will ultimately find that prayer ends up changing you. And when we really focus on God and when we really pray to Him, we're going to find that we're not very lonely. And we're going to find that we're not despairing. And we're going to find that we're not worried. Because we will learn that He's in control, and we'll learn just how to trust Him. See, He wants to hear from us. He's just like a parent that wants good for us. He wants what's best for us. Sometimes He makes us wait. Sometimes the answer is no, but He'll always give you what you need. So let me just ask you, have you been praying? Have you taken this time of lockdown, shutdown, whatever you want to call it, have you been taking the time to really pray to God? Because I think that's one of the reasons. It's one of the purposes for this time right now. I was talking to an old friend, and I was asking about her family, and I said, well, how's your son doing? She says, well, I don't know. I haven't heard from him in a few months. And she, he's in his 40s and he's married. She says, well, I've been calling him and I've been sending text to he and his wife and they don't answer me. Okay, so this is This woman is a senior citizen. Okay, so now who is missing out by this? Okay, so obviously she is, right? Because she's missing not talking to her son. But do you know who's really missing out? He is. He is, because his mom is there wanting to hear from him, wanting to answer his text, wanting to be there, wanting to help him, wanting to encourage him, wanting what's best for him. And he's too busy. And his, her daughter-in-law is just too busy. Months. How do you do that? Well, he's busy. He's busy. Well, do you see how that's how it is in our prayer life? When we are too busy to pray, and we're too uninterested, or we're not disciplined enough to pray, here's the deal. We are missing out. We are missing out on the one who loves us more than anybody. The one who wants what's best for us, and the one who wants to help us. We're missing out. So don't miss out. So can I challenge you to take some time every day to pray? This is probably the number one time in your life, unless you're one of the people that have to work, like Zelphia. Unless you're one of the workers out here in Chandler, we have a lot more time on our hands than normal, don't we? We can't even go places if we want to go places. There's no place to go. Oh, I guess Wendell's working too. So we got a handful of workers in here. Not a lot. So let's take the time to really pray to God. So I've got this beautiful old hymn, and we're going to all stand and sing this. So I hope that you'll accept my challenge, and that you'll take time to pray every day. What a friend we have in Jesus. And listen to these words as we sing.